That's a blessed day. We got family in the house today.
Yes, we do.
Hallelujah.
Got Nita back.
I'm live. All right. Shalom, everyone. Say shalom.
Shalom.
No Hebrew classes worked out well. In the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I'm like.
Awesome.
What?
I got excited.
All right. And where's Patricia? Oh, she's out there. She brought the boys, too. I want those boys. I'm like, Drea, you got to help me. Okay, so we had to show the picture. Now, this is from John.
We got the
ring. I like that, see? I like that. See, cards are funny.
We'll pass the little picture around.
Okay, I got to put the picture over here so it's safe. You going to take it? All right. And then we have some of these pictures already up, but we wanted you to see this picture. Do you guys see that picture? Do you see what's in that picture? This is Mary, she's holding a lamb, but she's got a serpent, her foot on a serpent's head.
Yeah.
Wow, I like this. That was, I'm like, whoa, that is nice. And then you got Jesus right there at the door.
Yeah.
Let's have that one first.
And you want that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. And I like this one.
Yeah.
Rashawn, you might like this one too. Rashawn, you know. Huh? Yeah. See this one?
Yeah.
It's Jesus right here. But see what you got right there? An Oscar. Somebody giving up Jesus for an Oscar. God's like, don't do it.
It ain't worth it.
Yep, you can't take an Oscar to heaven.
That's right.
And the gold that they're made from, we walk on that in heaven.
Yeah.
My wife is leaving now. All right. Thank you. Drea has.
Greg, you got some more pictures to put up wherever you want.
Greg, I think he left to go pick someone up or something. So hallelujah, he'll be back.
Can we do a shout out? Dominique and Sean's grandson, Kinsley, turned 3 yesterday.
Hallelujah, happy birthday to Kinsley. All right. This is from Doug, and Doug is from out the crops before the harvest. Do you guys understand that? I believe you're right on time. God is just going over the crop before the harvest.
Yeah.
Some of the crop need more water, sunlight, while others need less light and some fertilizing. And we're talking about Christians. Okay, it says, let's face it, some crop there's going to be crop failure. Ow. And he says, and some of the crop just need a pair of snips, yeah, to cut it, to clip away some of the weeds, trying to choke them out. Hallelujah, that's a good word.
Amen.
And it says, it won't be long now. God is waiting on the crop for the great harvest. God bless you.
Yeah.
Doug, and I'm gonna try to pronounce his name. Oh, it's Chapman. Hallelujah, and he's in Altadena.
Amen.
Wow, he's close. Go come see him. Where's this, who's this Brenda O? You know Brenda O?
She gave me a card too. Thank you, Brenda. She gave both of them.
Thank you, Brenda. It's not falling apart, it's falling into place. Glory to God. I like that last.
Isn't that beautiful?
That last line says, it's not falling apart, it's falling into place.
Yeah.
That's a word to all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody thinking the world's falling. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brenda. Brenda Shields. Hallelujah. We'll read that on Wednesday night, so I'm going to leave that here. And what's, oh, this is, who is this from? This is from,
gotta read that one.
Each day brings a new reason to be grateful. I praise God for that. Okay, pastor, protector, sheep, flock, always. Oh, he got the initials for pastor. P is for protector, A is for always, S is for standing in the gap in prayer, T is for thanks to God, by taking an O is for oath and obedience to God, and R is for raising word, or I guess it's raising word. Yep, raising word through teaching and preaching. Praise God. Okay, thank you to Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben. We're now known as Batman and Robin. All right, praise God. Thank you so much. Okay. Oh, yeah, now this is a personally made card. Now look at that. You see that? That's why you keep cards. People go through stuff. Now me, I would just go 99 cents though. If you ever get a card from me, it's from the 99 cents though. Hallelujah. But it's the thought that counts. But some people put a lot more than thought, and I really want to thank you. And thank you for your blessing as well. In Jesus' name. And this is from, it says Sanker. What's the first name, Sanker? Oh, Patricia Sanker. Okay, and you guys know?
Hello.
She's a bond servant, sample ministry, hallelujah. But this is in Washington, D.C., so this is, yeah, okay. All right, so hallelujah, we are done with that, and I am not going to be teaching much today, so get ready, because I got a lot of preaching to do.
Preach on.
All right. Okay, so... as we get ready for this message today, I need you to have your Bibles or whatever you have to use in your hand, because we're going to read a few scriptures. And we are going to really talk about this subject. I want to. The question is, what do you think is to me from the Lord? What do you think is important in heaven? And I tried to answer. And I was wrong. What do you guys think is the most important thing in heaven? What do you think everybody's talking about?
Christ.
Huh?
Christ.
The son is getting married.
Yeah, the wedding.
The wedding. They're talking about the wedding. You guys are like, I was thinking like you, saving souls, shouting, you know, who's speaking in tongues and who not. I don't know what's important. Lord's like, no, there's a wedding plan. He's like, if your kid was getting married, wouldn't that be the only thing you want to talk about? That's what's important in heaven, is the wedding, okay? Now, what's important in heaven is souls, okay? Because, you know, you get married, nobody wants to get married, just him, me, you, and the guy with the Elvis suit on with a book, right? That's not, you want a festive wedding, you want people there, right? So God is interested in the souls too, because he wants the wedding party to be full, you understand? The invitation to the wedding party is out. Everybody has been invited. Whether you take the invitation or not, that's your choice, okay? But the invitation is out, all right? God is understanding, but in the realm of sin, he's cut and dry.
Yep.
I want you to know that, okay? Because in the realm of sin, he can't let something in that destroys life. He had something in that destroyed life before. Remember? He was the praise and worship leader. He lived there, and he's like, oh my goodness, we got sin in the house. Somebody get some spray. You know what I mean? Well, that's if you're from my neighborhood. But you got sin in the house, it's got to go, right? And so Satan had to go. But look at all of the mess that has happened because of sin. That's why God won't let it in the house, okay? So it's a cut and dry situation with sin. No matter how cute you are, no matter how good your excuse was, God is not patient with sin, okay? Sin actually caused the death of his son, okay? So it's not something you can treat lightly and just let come in, okay? So this is, we're going to read, here, Israel, come here. My son Israel, I want you to tell me what this scripture says. So I don't feel like looking it up. What does John 10:10 say?
The enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to give you life and give you life more abundantly.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. I appreciate it. He's like waving at people. TV time, that guy. Okay, so The reason why God gave me this script, this message this morning, is because of that fact, is that we have an enemy among us, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're going to read Luke chapter 16, verse 19, and then I'm going to explain to you why the Lord wanted me to read this to you, because we're not understanding what's important to heaven, and we're not understanding the rules, okay? Because the rules are the rules, okay? And a good judge can't bypass the rules because you have a good excuse. I want you to know that, okay? Amen. So God is using this opportunity, earth, to get you in line with the rules so that you're available for the wedding and that you're available for the kingdom, okay? The scripture, Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born again, right?
Right.
So now, will anybody be in heaven that is not born again?
No.
No, that is cut and dry, okay? Because Jesus says, no one will be there that is not born again, okay? Where do you get born again? You can't do it in heaven, because anybody can repent once you're there. So your opportunity to repent and to be in relationship with God is right here.
Amen.
Okay? So we want to get in line with the rules. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Hallelujah. You're in Luke?
Yes.
Chapter 16, verse 19. It says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something. There are many parables in the Bible, but Jesus never uses names.
That's true.
In this situation, he's using names, okay? Because he wants you to know this is not a story. This is something that happened, and I'm trying to tell you about it. The beggar died, and he went to Abraham's bosom, which is paradise, which was in the middle of the earth at the time. Okay? It says, in hell, where he was in torment, talking about the rich man, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. Abraham replied, son, remember that in your life you receive good things while Lazarus receives bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses, the prophets, Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben. No, he didn't say that. But they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.
True.
Okay.
That's true.
God is letting every Jehovah Witness out there know there is a place of torment called hell, okay? Because when I talking to Jehovah Witness, I brought up the point of hell, and they said hell don't exist. I said, so Jesus was lying? And she's like, well, that's not what he meant when he said hell. So the guy who was in torment wasn't really in torment? So you're not going to be able to lie hell away. It's a real place. God prepared it, and God prepared it for people who can't enter his house. Because God has made two homes, one in the kingdom, which he's preparing mansions for his children and opportunities and freedoms for his children. And he built another house for people who are still infected with a disease that they didn't want to get rid of. And so God has given us this opportunity on earth to get rid of this disease, right? Amen. Which is sin. And so this is what the Lord wanted me to say. This battle that you're in is not about you being a good Christian or learning how to be a good Christian. I wish all of us could visit both places so that we will see that this is about life and death. Okay? This, and I'm not talking about physical life and physical death. This is about, because the Lord said, he said, I'm not talking about life as they said. He says, because what is life? Life to God is to be in the presence of God, to be in the presence of God in complete joy. Life to God is living in his house. That Jesus and living in the homes that Jesus has built for you and living in the presence of God. Life to God is laughter, music, dancing with friends and family. Life to God means, he says, never knowing sickness or disease again. That's life to God. Okay? Life to God is talking to Jesus and angels face to face with joy and laughter. And that is just a drop of water, what I have planned for them, that the Lord was talking to me. He says, that's just a drop of water, what I have planned for them. So you guys have to understand, God has life prepared for you if you come in line with the rules, okay? Because the rules are, you've got to have what it takes to get in here, okay? Now, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have the gift of salvation, okay? God wants you to know the scripture that my son just said, there's a thief walking amongst you where you live, and he wants your gift.
Yes.
And what's your gift? Salvation. He wants it. And if you don't value it, he'll be able to get it from you. And he says, people who say that you're once saved and you're always saved and you can sin as much as you want as long as you accepted Jesus are lying to you.
Amen.
And so you have to find a way, just like Pastor Sandy did. I'm on my knees in prison. And I don't mean jail. I'm in a prison. And I'm praying repentance, because you know prison will make you repent. And I thought God was going to say, you're getting what you deserved. And you know what God said to me? I love you. I love you. And I started crying, right? I had a roommate. He was asleep. I was glad, because he's like, he called me Big Dude. What's up, Big Dude? And if he saw Big Dude crying, he might not have the same respect for me, right? But I'm crying because I expected God to, like, you're getting what you deserve. But God was like, I love you. And I went to court next day, and they hit the gavel and let me out because some people witnessed and said I was a really good person. And they were not completely correct. But if the judge believed them and they let me out, I'm like, let's go. So I'm out, I've repented, and I said to the girl I was living with, not my wife, so I was in sin, I'm like, look, Everything in this apartment you can have. I just repented, gave my life back to Christ. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to California. You can have everything in this house. Just give me $1,000 so I can get a, I got some money saved. I'll get $1,000 and I'm gonna get me an airplane ticket. I'm leaving as soon as possible. She thought that was a wonderful deal. I had a 2-bedroom apartment with full of furniture. Gave me $1,000. I came back, man. I got back here in the mind that I gotta get back with Jesus. You understand? Because I knew one thing for absolutely sure. I wasn't in position to go into God's house the way I was living when I was there. Amen. Okay? Amen. I had set my salvation down so that I can enjoy a little sin. Okay? And so now I'm in the position that if a trumpet should blow, I would have been left and asking God, well, why me? I'm, you know, I gave my life to you. And he was like, you know why you left. You know you weren't in position, right? So we have to understand that God has given us this place to make good, sound decisions. But you have to know the decision you're making is not about you being a good Christian. Nobody cares how good of a Christian you were when you get to heaven.
Right.
They want to know, did you stay within the rules? Because if you didn't stay within the rules, you're not going to make it.
Amen.
You might not be that good of a Christian. You might be a sinning, got to repent again Christian. Mm-hmm. But you know to repent,
yes.
Right? You know to ask for forgiveness. You know to get back in line, right?
Yes.
So you've got to stay within the rules of the game. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. How do you miss out on heaven? By not taking, this is the Lord, by not taking your responsibility, by not taking on your responsibility in the war. So you accepted Christ, but you haven't taken your responsibility in the war. Because once you accept Christ, it's a covenant that goes two ways. You have some responsibilities to stay strong that are going to keep you strong in your faith. You have some responsibilities that's going to keep you in Christ. Your responsibilities belong to you.
Right.
Keeping oil in your lamp belongs to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pray always belongs to you.
Yeah.
Study to show thyself approved belongs to you.
Yeah.
You understand? If you do none of these things and you become weak and somebody come by and snatch your salvation out of your hand and they're running and you're too weak to even chase them and you say they got away. Well, you didn't have enough energy because you hadn't even had enough spiritual food in your spiritual body to chase him down and take it back.
Amen.
But you don't see it that way. But when that guy runs off with your salvation, he just ran off with your life.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to get that back. And that's with repentance. Okay, let's continue.
Amen.
Let's go to Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. This is what the Lord wanted me to show you concerning your responsibility. Isn't that crazy? Some people want to be in Christ and have no responsibilities.
Yeah.
Like wanting to be married, but you be married and I'm just gonna be me. God, like, it don't work like that on earth, and it don't work like that in heaven. You got some things to do. I've got some things to do. I got your back in every situation, but you have some things to do because you're on the battle line. And you got the Holy Spirit in you, so you got a fighter with you, but you're on the battle line. You've got to do what is necessary while you're on the battle line.
Amen.
You're in Leviticus chapter 6. We're in verse 12. And we'll read also verse 13. It says, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. He's talking to the priests. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offering on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must never go out. That is the responsibility of a priest. He has garments to wear while he's doing his priestly duty. You understand? When you come into Christ, Christ says you have now become a royal priesthood. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you became part of the priesthood. Therefore, you have a responsibility to the temple. Now, we all know that God doesn't live in temples anymore, right?
Right.
Not made by hands, but he lives in the temple where at? In your body. In the body of Christ, God is living inside of you.
Amen.
You still have the same responsibilities of the priest. And what's the responsibility? Keep the wear the garments you're supposed to wear. I didn't read the scriptures before, but they had garments they had to wear. Wear the garments that you're supposed to wear and keep the fire going. The garment you're supposed to wear is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The fire that you're supposed to keep going is the anointing that is inside of you because of the relationship.
Yeah.
So it's your job each day to make sure that this fire stays lit. Now, when me and Drea got married, we had a lady pastor us. And she said this to me. She said, so this is a great day for you. I'm like, yeah, this is a great day. She said, now make sure you do something nice for her all the time. Keep the fire lit. She was telling me that to maintain this relationship, I'm going to have to do some things and make sure that my wife's and our love and our marriage stays on fire, right? Because she knows that probably being a pastor, she probably knew, she's seen a lot of marriages come and go, right?
Right.
Because once the fire goes out, somebody want to leave, somebody want to go. But if you keep the fire burning, you keep the relationship burning, okay? So you don't sit around every day not doing anything to keep the fire burning. Sometimes you got to do something nice when it's not their birthday. Sometimes you got to do something nice, you know. It's not Mother's Day, but you're still doing something. Sometimes you got to cook a meal. I mean, what you're doing is just showing that love and that respect because you're keeping the relationship going.
Amen.
Okay? You can't come in every day, sit down, watch sports, or drink a beer. Okay, let's say we're Christians. Watch sports, drink some Kool-Aid, and never pay any attention. She's talking to you. I don't feel like talking. Can't you see I'm watching sports? You can't do a marriage like that for 10 years. Why? Because you'll be back at the singles club, right? So God is trying to let us know you in a relationship, you got to keep the fire burning.
Amen.
How are you going to keep the fire burning? Okay? You have to read the word for yourself.
Yeah.
The word of God is food. It is spiritual food.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this again. The word of God is spiritual food.
Yeah.
If you're not eating it, you're going to be weak.
Yeah.
Fellowship is spiritual sharpening of two knives. Okay? You need fellowship to make sure that the iron is sharpening iron. And you're staying focused on Christ. Because the people that you hang out with got to have your same mindset and your same attitude. Because the scripture says bad company corrupts good morals.
Yeah.
It never says if you have good morals, you can correct bad company.
Never.
It never says that. Because you being a good guy around a bunch of weed smokers, and I'm talking from experience, you are not going to leave there without smoking some weed. All right?
Amen.
I don't hang around with weed heads. You know why? Because I don't smoke weed, and I don't want to hang around because I remember smoking weed. So I hang around people that are like me. I don't hang around people that every word come out of their mouth is profanity. So I got to find some people to fellowship. Iron. I'm going to hang out with Lloyd. Because I know when I hang out with Lloyd, we're talking about Jesus.
Right.
Okay, we're talking about our wives. We're talking about what I can do better. What can I, how can I, we're talking Jesus stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sharpening myself because of the people that I'm hanging around with. If you hang around, I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Tahira say bubbleheads, you will have, you will eventually grow a bubblehead. Thank you, Tahira. That was better than, that was more Christian than what I was going to say. So, we fellowship with believers, okay? If you enjoy fellowshipping with people who aren't believers, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Okay? Here we go.
Amen.
The word that you study has to be to the point where you understand the word of God. Because in understanding the word of God, you're understanding doctrine. Doctrine is the totality of instructions from Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again. Your doctrine is the totality of instructions taught by Jesus. Your doctrine is not just one thing, like, yo, you must be born again. That's only one doctrine. There's another doctrine say you must be baptized. That's another doctrine.
Yeah.
There's other doctrines that says be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's another doctrine. Okay? How you treat your brothers in Christ. That's another doctrine. When I'm trying to follow the doctrines of Jesus, I'm not taking one or two that I like and then throwing the other ones out. It's the doctrine is the totality of what Jesus taught. Okay? You can't be in a church. You know what exegesis is? Exegesis is like you're reading the scriptures and you're finding out what is it about Jesus in the scriptures that I can pull out of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what narcissus is? Narcissus is taking all the scriptures and making it about you.
Ooh.
That's a narcissist. The whole Bible is about me. So I can't preach anything to you about Jesus because it doesn't interest you because it doesn't have anything to do with you. That's narcissism.
Yeah.
They call it narcissus preaching.
Wow.
So when I preach to you and I say, well, you know, Lazarus raised from the grave and God can raise up your broken dreams. God can raise your broken dreams. Anything that died that you wanted to achieve, God can raise your broken dreams up. Because I'm taking it away from Jesus and I'm going to put it on you because I know you love to hear about you.
Right.
And you're not really there to hear about Jesus because that doesn't interest you. But if I tell you what it can do for you, now you want to hear about it. The Spirit of God that's living inside of you wants to hear about Jesus, but you're at a church where they're always talking about you.
Wow.
So the giant becomes, oh, God's going to kill the giants in your life. You read Habakkuk, write it down, let the so that they see the vision.
Right.
Oh, see, God telling me to write down what I need from him, because I might want a green Mercedes and I don't want no red one. So I got to write down my vision. So you get all of this foolishness. And look, I'm telling you, T.D. Jakes and all of them, they do it all the time.
Yeah,
it's all about you.
Yep.
Woman, thou art loose. Blah, 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 blah. Money cometh. Nobody's learning the Bible. If people were learning the Bible, I'm telling you, Pastor Ben, we would not. I mean, God, no, nobody's learning the Bible. Everybody's narcissus reading. It's all about me. It's about Jesus. And he's not a psychologist. Okay?
Right.
He's not a psychologist to deal with. He's giving you the word to help you mold you and shape you into the image of Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Amen. That was good, Pastor.
Did I read Leviticus already?
Yes.
The Lord wanted me to explain this to you, okay? Now, it says the fire on the altar must be kept burning. That's the anointing that's inside of you. It must not go out. That's your responsibility, not Jesus. Okay? Stay in the word. Stay in scripture. Stay listening. That's your responsibility. It says every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire. Now, that's Drea. Every morning she praying. She don't come downstairs unless she's praying. If she forgets, she go back up and pray. I'm sorry, she putting fire on the wood, wood on the fire every day, right? Then it says, and burn the fat of the fellowship offering. Do you guys know what the fat of the fellowship offering was? That's the part of the animal that had to be stripped off and completely burnt and consumed and taken away outside of the camp because it did not represent the truth. That animal is not 600 pounds. That animal is 500 pounds. That's 100 pounds of fat. This is because we take to the altar things that God wants burnt up. You've got to be willing to burn up what you know God doesn't like. Nobody likes to eat fat. Nobody. I gave some to my turtle, which is probably why he's not alive now, but he spit it up. Listen, nobody like. You can be eating a good piece of steak and you'll bite some fat and you'll go and you'll take it out. God doesn't want the fat to be part of the offering, okay? That part's supposed to be consumed. So if you're going before God and you're saying, Lord, the people at my job hate me because I'm a Christian and they're treating me bad. Lord, I need you to do something. And the Lord said, well, come to the altar, let's burn the fat. If you get there on time, you only have to be there 5 days. You go there, you get there late 3 days. When they ask you to do an assignment, you turn it in late and you got to redo it. So let's burn the fat before I help the people, okay? I want you to go in there and apologize and commit yourself to excellence and then come back and then I'm going to help you with the job. See, so I'm putting the fat on the altar. I don't want to put the lie on the altar. I'm a good employee and they just hate me because I'm a Christian. No, be honest with God.
Yes.
Or pray and ask God and the Holy Spirit will be honest with you. So you want to burn up with my wife, all she does, she don't do what? God, like, let's come into the altar, let's burn that up. Because this might not be real meat. The problem might be you, right? So let's burn up the part that's you, okay? And then we can fix the problem. But you don't want to take lies to the altar. I'm just being a good person and they just, no, come to the altar. We have to understand that, okay? So God says, at the altar, burn the fat, keep the fire on the altar lit, because on the altar you're bringing things that you don't want in your life. Keep the altar burning, burn up all the lies and the preconceptions that you're holy and you're the best person to ever be and it's only other people, you know, burn that up, right? I remember God telling me one time, he said, you get angry too fast, because I was telling God, like, the only reason I get in fights is because people say the wrong thing to me and they say it, you know, and then that makes me mad and that's why I get in fights. We could have gotten a fight yesterday, right? Guy pulled up and told me, I can't even say what he told me, huh? But he wasn't nice at all. But I used to use that, like, if you say something to me bad, that's why I beat him up, God. And it's not me, it's the people. And God's like, bring that to the altar. And he said, you are worse than unbelievers. You get angry like that. You need to get control of your anger. And you're impatient. And he said, I want you to read Corinthians chapter 13 every day till you realize what my personality is. And I want you to become like me. I want you to be slow to anger. I want you to be not rude. I want you to be kind. I want you to be quick to forgive. I want you to be like me. Burn up you. And I cried. Because I knew it was the truth. So don't be afraid to be honest, but keep the fire burning, because we're trying to be molded into the image of Christ. And you're not going to be molded to the image of Christ unless you're willing to burn up some things. Amen. You understand?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, I need us to go to 2 John chapter 10. We're almost finished, Pastor Ben. Aren't we?
Amen.
Are we?
15.
Ooh, that's beautiful. Just go to 2 John, the epistle, 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. And we'll also read, I think, 10. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. It says here, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the doctrine of Christ, some of your Bibles might say the teachings of Christ. So anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the doctrine of Christ does not have Christ.
Mm.
What? So if you start living under your own doctrine, he's saying you don't have God. You understand? He says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the doctrine has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not take him into your house or welcome him. You hear that? So Jesus has a doctrine. What is the doctrine? The totality of what he taught, of what he instructed. Okay? So if Jesus didn't teach it, you can't follow it.
Amen.
You can't say, I believe, like when they tell, I'm going to tell you this right now. The Lord told me. He says Eve's biggest sin was giving an ear to a liar. That was her first sin. Because if she didn't listen, nothing would happen. But some of us are so curious about every YouTube teacher that we give our ear to demons. And the demons teach you things that, let me tell you something about Satan. Satan don't make orange $4 bills. He makes real crispy $20 green ones that look just like the ones you spend. So you have to understand, okay? If you lend your ear to too many doctrines, you're going to become confused. Black people are not the original Hebrews. But if you lend your ear to it, it'll start sounding good. Why? Because we're confused. We were in slavery. We don't really know our history. And if you're saying that I'm God's original people, maybe it's true. You have a scripture that backs that up. Why, yes, I do, Satan says. And so now you get caught up into another doctrine. But he says, if you don't fall in the doctrine of Christ, you've lost God. This is being honest with people.
Amen.
You can't now say, I follow the Jesus that only died for black people. But it's the same Jesus as your Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, you following a whole nother Jesus.
Yep.
When I was Rahman Abdul Rahim, you know what Jesus I was following? I was following the Jesus that was a prophet, but not God.
Wow.
And he wasn't even greater than Muhammad. That's Rahman Abdul Rahim was following that Jesus.
Wow.
And I felt safe because I said, at least I still believe in Jesus. No, you don't. You lost God and the doctrine as soon as you start following another doctrine.
Yeah.
If Jesus is an angel and he's not God, you're not following the doctrine of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because God came down and died for your sins.
Yes.
So the totality of the teachings and instructions is the doctrine, not the ones you pick and choose for your lifestyle.
Amen.
Okay? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Hallelujah. You can listen to people tell you, once you're saved, you're always saved. Don't worry about it. But that's another doctrine. Because that doctrine does not fit in with the doctrine that says it'd been better if that you had never known me than to know me and to fall back.
Amen.
See, that's Jesus' doctrine.
Yeah.
So if it's better for you to not know him than to know him and then to fall away from him, then you really in trouble. Because sinners are in trouble and they don't know him. But you knew him and went back, and God said, you in bigger trouble. So that's not once saved, always saved. You understand?
Amen.
So I want you to know this is, and what do we start this off by saying? This is not about you being a good Christian. Who cares? This is about you learning doctrine so that you stay in line with the rules. Because you might not finish up with no sin.
Right.
You might not be the perfect Christian all the way up to the rapture. But you, if you know repentance, you can stay within the rules.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
And so God is saying, look, I made a system that you can stay righteous even while you're working this thing out in grace.
Right.
I've made a system that you can do that. But once you get outside of the doctrine, you're losing God. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You can't make up your own rules.
Amen.
Okay. Here we go.
10 minutes.
All right. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're starting at verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. Wow. That's not me, because people be like, you say you're mean. No, Pastor Ben is me. I'll just read the Bible. Because Pastor Ben be telling it like a TIE sometimes. Pastor Ben will say stuff. I was like, I wouldn't have said it that way, but go ahead, Pastor Ben. Amen. I'm just reading the Bible. All right?
That's all right.
All right. He says, this person is, he said, he has an unhealthy, let me see. He has an unhealthy interest in controversy and quarrels about words and the result that results in envy, strife, malice, talk, evil, suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt minds who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain.
Wow.
Okay? So when somebody goes into a false doctrine and a false teaching, the scripture says, if anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree in sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. So you're arguing with a person that's conceited. You got to realize he's moved on. He left the doctrine and he left God. Now you're arguing with him that Jesus is an angel. And you're trying to tell him, no, Jesus was God. And he's trying to tell you, no, he's not. He was the archangel Michael. You're arguing with somebody that is spiritually unhealthy and has left God because he left the doctrine. You're arguing with somebody that says that Jesus only died for black people and we were the original Hebrews. You're arguing with a nut. You're like, look, the Bible says that you are unhealthy and that I shouldn't even be dealing with you because you have walked away from the doctrine,
Amen.
Okay? So these people are not here for us to argue with.
Right.
You can pray for them,
yeah.
But I'm not going to get involved in that because that's just going to be friction and fighting over nothing.
Right.
Because it's not going to bring them into right correction of doctrine because what? They left that and now they're unhealthy,
yeah.
Okay?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Now we get back to the end, and this is what the Lord wanted me to know, you guys to know. And that's in John chapter 3, verse 29. Okay.
Amen.
Is your walk in Christ about you becoming a good Christian?
No.
Your walk in Christ is about life and death. And learning the doctrine so that you stay within the rules. Okay? Because as soon as you say, I can sin and I don't have to repent, you're calling God a liar. 1 John 1:9 says that if you sin and you say that you haven't sinned, you're calling God a liar. So when we sin, we repent because we don't want to say we haven't sinned, knowing that we have, and call God a liar. Amen. You understand? Amen. That's doctrine. So repentance, if you sin, you should repent because you're in agreement with God that you're still trying to get it right.
Yes.
Once you tell God, well, you know, we thinking about, you know, getting married someday, and so we're not calling it fornication because it's kind of like we are married.
Yeah.
And God's like, no, you're not. But we kind of are. No, you're not. But if you repent and say, help me with that situation, God will say, I'm going to work that out for you.
Right.
You understand? You have to stay within the rules of the game because people land in hell and they go, how did this happen? I remember accepting you when I was 15. How did this happen? Well, you were drinking quite a bit and you were at a club and somebody shot you. And your girlfriend was at home. And I landed here, but I... No. Get back within the rules. Repent and live right. Repent and live right. You're not going to get this opportunity again. There are people under this ground in torment and heat who wish... I wish I could be on that side again so I could repent and have a relationship with God so I don't have to be here.
Amen.
You're not going to get this grace thing. You're not going to get it again.
Amen.
I want you to know, but God has provided it for you and he's given you time. This is not about you being a good Christian. This is about getting within the doctrine so that you can save your life. And I'm not talking about physical life. I'm talking about your eternal life.
Amen.
John chapter 3, verse 29 reads this way. And it says, I'm going to start at verse 28. You yourself can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, John is talking, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. He said, I'm not Jesus. The bride belongs to Jesus, the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less. John is letting you know that Jesus is there for what? A bride. The bridegroom belongs to Jesus, the bridegroom. What heaven is excited about is the wedding. Okay? What heaven is excited about is the wedding. And if you want to be at the wedding, you have to get within sound doctrine. You understand? Because if you're walking outside of the doctrine, you're walking outside of God.
Amen.
The scripture just said that. If you got another doctrine, it's outside of God.
Amen.
Repentance is always available and it's free. Jesus is at the right hand of God and he's waiting there. He's making atonement for you. As you bring in the repentance, he's bringing it before God and saying, my blood died, my blood for that, my blood for that, my blood for that. He's doing that.
Yes.
Not repenting is a big mistake. Okay?
3 minutes left.
I'm not going to go to Matthew chapter 22, but I'm going to tell you what Matthew chapter 22 talks about. There's a wedding. And God has sent out people to invite everybody to the wedding. And all these people rejected it at first, which was the Jewish nation. Then you had people that accepted it. And then some guy shows up and he doesn't have the wedding garment on. He's like, how did you get in here without a wedding garment on? Where does the wedding garment come from? Jewish history. A king doesn't give a party and let you wear your own clothes. When a king gives a party, he says, and if they accept the invitation, make sure you give them this garment to wear. And when you go to that formal gathering at the palace, you better have on the garment that the king issued. This guy was there without the issued garment. And he said, somebody get him out of here. Cast him in the outer darkness. Because the Holy Spirit was given to us and we have to keep it on. The way to take it off is to be persistent in sin. The way to cleanse it and to keep it right is repentance and staying in relationship. This is not a hard game. This is easier than Monopoly. This is not hard. Now you go to Matthew chapter 25. And now we have what? 10 virgins, right? 10 virgins. And who are they all waiting on? They're all waiting on the bridegroom. Did it say five were waiting on the bridegroom and five were just hanging out?
Nope.
All 10 of them knew Jesus was coming. God said five of them were obedient and five were living in disobedience. Why? Because the five that were living in obedience did what God told them to do. Make sure you keep oil in this jar and that you are prepared when I come. The other five said, we don't need no oil in the jar. We know he's coming, but once he gets here, we'll rush out and get some. You don't know how fast he's coming and leaving. So our job is to look. Get in relationship. Do what's right. Repentance is not hard. I've had to do it. It's not even, you know what, when you get used to it, it's kind of refreshing.
It is.
I'm telling you, it's really nice. When you get used to it, you go, wow, well, thank you, Lord. You feel better. You're on a nicer path.
Yep.
The whole thing's great. So listen, you have something very valuable to you. I don't know how much time we have before the rapture, but I see that Satan is still trying to rob people. He's trying to still give people another doctrine, another religion. He's trying to make them complacent in sin. You know, don't worry about it. God will understand. Well, Judge, you know, the only reason I robbed that bank was the kids weren't eating well and the rent was due. So that's why I robbed the bank. I hope you can. What do you think the judge is going to say?
Get him out of here.
That's what I'm saying. We're trying to take excuses. Instead of doing the right thing, God says, say this last thing and this is it. He says, I give you all as born again Christians the power of no. You guys got it? You got the power of no. Somebody cursing you out and Satan wants you to curse him back? No. Jesus loves you. I met a new chick and she wants me to come over and spend the night. No. I've saved myself thousands of dollars by saying no. Child support is expensive. I'm telling you, just saying no. I issue all the power of no.
Amen.
It will save your life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hallelujah.
Amen.